This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's start with this.
But before we even get into that, I want to say that this is a violation of the open meetings law. It is required. I got a memo here from our current attorney general, not a past one, the current one. August of 2010, the attorney, no Wisconsin court decision will allow meetings unless you have good cause to provide less than 24 hours notice of a meeting. Okay. The provision, like all other provisions of the open meetings laws, must be construed in favor of providing the public
Barca?
With the fullness and most complete
Barca.
Information governing the
Representative
business.
Barca.
If there's any doubt.
Yes.
Clerk Paul Roll.
No, excuse me. No, listen, it says if there's any doubt as to whether good cause exists, the governmental body should provide 24 hours notice. This is clearly a violation of the open meetings law. Now, look, you've been shutting people down. It is improper for you to move forward while this is a violation of the open meetings law. You're not allowing amendments, and that is wrong. Now, I, Mr. Chairman, this is a violation of law. This is not just a rule. It is the law. There must be. No, Mr. Chairman, this is a violation of the open meetings law. It requires 24, at least 2 hours notice.
What have you done?
Okay.
That was the scene in Wisconsin, and the voice you heard there was Peter Barca. He is the minority leader in the Wisconsin State House, and he was claiming that the Republicans in Wisconsin have broken state law by holding an emergency meeting to jam through legislation to strip public unions of their rights to bargain for a number of issues, whether it's pay or for more money to be spent in schools, more money for school buses, whatever, all the things that unions do bargain for. David Swanson joins me live in studio. You can check him out online at davidswanson.org. His latest book is War is a Lie. He's also the author of Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency. David, what are your thoughts on the news, the latest news from Wisconsin?
I thought that sounded terrific. Sure beats bipartisanship. I've had enough up to here of that. You know,
screw the bipartisanship. Let's just do what we want.
Well, when the two parties are amicably screwing us, yeah, to hell with it. I would rather have one of them trying to fight for us, and that's happening in Wisconsin. And it's not. You know, I just watched a great conversation between Rachel Maddow and Michael Moore about this, and Rachel's claim is that the reason there's this movement there is because of all things unheard of. These people are trying to ram through legislation that's unpopular and that they didn't campaign on. No, that's not new. What's happening there is that you have unions in huge numbers, public unions, which is the only place unions still exist, being attacked. And you have the Democratic Party happening to be lined up on the side with the people. And when you have that, you have the Democratic Party loyal groups, you have the unions, which will never challenge the Democratic Party, and you have the youth energized by movements around the world in Egypt and Tunisia. You have everything come together in a perfect storm to create the pressure that leads to someone like the minority leader of the House in Wisconsin actually showing some spine. That doesn't happen on its own.
Yeah, we certainly don't see Democrats usually doing that, do we? Spine, it's a new word for them, I think.
It is. It's absolutely unheard of. And even if they show it now, it's purely in defense. Right. I mean, that the entire agenda that anybody has moved Democrats to back thus far has been holding off the destruction. Right. I mean, we put in a Congress and a president in Washington to legalize unionizing so we could have unions in the private marketplace, the Employee Free Choice Act, which you never hear about anymore.
But Obama ran on that, right? He said that he would support this.
He campaigned. Well, yeah. Most things he campaigned on, the good ones, he's gone back on. And that was certainly one of them. But
Fox News was telling me during the election that he was the most liberal senator in the history of the U.S. Senate. And that if we elected him, he would change this country into socialism. And that's what we got. But you're telling me all that socialistic stuff he ran on, he's not he's just let fall by the wayside. He doesn't want to do it.
If people believe the slightest bit of that nonsense, then they ought to, if they are in an educational institution or a school or a high school or a elementary school, they ought to join with everyone in the country tomorrow at 2 o'clock and walk out and leave that place. If they haven't been taught the history of unions, the history of nonviolence, the history of what created any prosperity in this country, and what's been happening in recent years in our government, when Bush and Obama and McCain all sat around a table and said, let's take enough money to fix everybody's problems, get everybody good on their home loans, end this misery in this country, and let's give it to Wall Street. And they did it. And this, you know, Michael Moore gave the greatest speech ever in Madison.
It really was something. I'm going to play it tomorrow on the program.
You should. But when he says, you know, they told us they would destroy our country if we didn't bail out Wall Street and we fell for it. No, phone calls into Congress were 90% against. We didn't fall for it.
Against the Wall Street bailout.
Against the Wall Street
bailout. Let them fail. Let these companies, banks and lending institutions, let them go ahead and fail. They ran their companies into the ground. They knew what they were doing. We know that now for a fact. They knew that they were pulling one over and that they were committing crimes.
Yes.
And that they were, you know, selling junk and rating it, you know, AAA rated bonds, you know, as great as any city municipal bond, the best investment you could make. And they knew it was crap.
And none of them in prison, none of them prosecuted, none of them out of work, handing out the bailouts bigger than ever. The Forbes 400 list of the 400 richest Americans put out yesterday, these people getting richer and richer. If you believe this country is broke or is in some kind of a crisis, or that the people making a teeny bit more than you are the ones to blame, you might consider a permanent walkout from wherever you're getting an education, and certainly switching off Fox News and getting rid of cable and listening to shows like this one on the internet, and buying books, because this is what these protests do. And this in Wisconsin should not now become a fight for lawyers or for the Democratic Party or for court cases. The people should keep doing this because they have educated the country. They've educated the people in Wisconsin. The polls have shifted dramatically in favor of sanity. And we ought to have a national general strike.
Yeah. We're talking with David Swanson. The website is davidswanson.org. Your thoughts, 977-1070. It's 418 here in Charlottesville. Before we take a quick break, I think there is a disconnect among a lot of, especially conservatives, who think you're just espousing some kind of class war. You got a problem with rich people. Nothing wrong with rich people. I wish I was one. And you're just jealous because they got money. The disconnect, I think, is that they don't understand that so many of these very wealthy people in America, I say they, I'm speaking with a broad brush here. Many people don't understand that the money that they have, by and large, they stole from working Americans, from the working poor, and from the middle class. And explain that point, because I think that's one thing they certainly understand in the streets of Wisconsin, but they don't necessarily get in a lot of places, even among conservatives in Charlottesville.
And that's a factor here, is that it is Wisconsin, that they have unions and that they have a history of progressive activism and they remember it. But when Louis Brandeis said, you can have democracy or you can have wealth concentrated in the hands of a few, but you can't have both, he didn't mean that he hates rich people or he's jealous of rich people. It was a purely, absolutely documentable, empirical observation that when you put all the money in the hands of a small section of the population, you put all the power there, too. And when those people are running the country and when their children have all of those opportunities that nobody else's children do, and you're establishing a nobility rather than an equal society in which everybody has some sort of a chance and some shot at being represented, right? When you and I can be heard by a governor without pretending to be David Koch on the phone, this is a question of whether we will have any sort of representative government or whether the state of Michigan will put corporations in charge of our cities and just do away with the whole pretense.
Let's talk about that very initiative in Michigan when we get back. A quick break. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's 4:23 here in Charlottesville. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. We're talking with David Swanson. He is live in studio. Glad to have him here. And Eric is with us in Charlottesville. Eric, thanks for the call, buddy. You go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm a little confused about the position you all are taking in regards to Fox News, because Neil Cavuto and other people on Fox were dead set against these bailouts. And we're not talking about capitalism here. We're talking about corporate socialism. And the idea that, unions are solely responsible for creating wealth in this country is pretty silly. And if you're going to talk about the history of unions as some wonderfully progressive force, then to be inclusive of unions' history, you also have to talk about the history of racism in unions, the history of terrorism in unions, the history of the anti-immigrant stance that the AFL-CIO took from its outset, and the fact that they didn't allow blacks or women in for decades. So to sort of whitewash the history of unions and act like these people are the ones that created all the wealth in this country is ridiculous. And just one other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been a gross misrepresentation of the Koch brothers as some sort of evil geniuses behind some conservative movement to destroy working class people, when in point of fact, the Koch brothers have supported places like the Cato Institute, which are dead set against increased defense spending, foreign wars, in favor of gay marriage. I mean, this is a, sort of a broad brush to paint these guys with, and it, in fact, they're a lot more interesting than that, the things they support. And, you know, the Tea Party responded, just as you said, to the overwhelming feeling that the 90-to-1 calls going into Congress weren't being listened to, and that was the result that happened under the Bush administration. So I'm just concerned that there's sort of a one-sided representation of the legitimate anger of a lot of people. But
yeah, yeah.
If we're going to talk about democracy, then maybe we also ought to talk about the senators that took their ball and went home and fled to another state instead of allowing the results of an election to be actually followed through with.
Eric, thank you very much for the call. Terrific points. And just to clarify, I only referenced Fox News when I was talking about how they painted Obama as a socialist, which I think is a bit ridiculous. But great points. And I think I'm the first one to say, I think, and I know, David, you would agree with me on this, that right and left doesn't matter. We are all entitled to great anger in this country because, you know, if you make less than $1 million a year, you've been robbed.
Absolutely. And the majority of people want the rich taxed, want the military cut, want the environment saved, want the corruption removed, the money removed, the two parties set back in place. I blame Congress for the bailouts and for everything that it has done wrong and these presidents have done wrong for the past decade. The Cato Institute is not elected. Some Tea Partiers are, and they are as bad as everyone else there, and they're not fixing anything. And these powers that we said we were going to mention in Michigan are absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, we only got a couple minutes left, but and I'm going to talk more about it in the next half hour. But this to me, I am so upset by this. I have to tell you, and I was telling you before we went on, I've always sort of thought, yeah, America's gradually become a corporate state. Corporations have way too much power in this country. We are recreating the kind of country that we revolted against. But when I see what's happening in Michigan, it's happening so much faster than I thought it would, and as a matter of fact, it's already happened.
It happened secretly, then quietly, then out front. You know, in 2007, President Bush, with National Security Presidential Directive 51, gave himself the power to declare a national emergency, emergency powers, establish a new government, put himself in charge of everything.
Yeah, completely unconstitutional, yeah.
Absolutely, and Congress demanded to see the sections of the directive that were secret, and still hasn't. So we don't even know what the law is nationally on that. But in Michigan, to give the governor the power through the legislature openly pass a law to give the governor the
power.
And
most people haven't heard about this, but you know, it's absolutely startling and frightening what's happened in Michigan.
Take over towns, take over cities, take over school districts.
They've empowered the governor. They've empowered the governor to actually go in and not only dismiss an elected local town government, dismiss them like a king and say you are no longer a government, but actually to unincorporate a town. To make the town wipe it off the map. You are no longer a town.
And to put in charge not someone who, quote unquote, respects elections, you know, and violates quorum requirements in the Constitution, but a corporation. Put a company in charge. You want to make some money off the people of Detroit? We'll put your corporation in charge. But first, you have to pay me enough money to elect me governor. This is, you know, it's the same thing we've been seeing progressing for decades now, but it's become more open, you know, and this passing this bill through Wisconsin unconstitutionally, not just because of the meeting, but because of the requirements that are the reason that they couldn't pass it for 3 weeks and the guys left the state. And to have the excuse that, well, my lawyer said I could. This is what it's come to now. A lawyer says you can fight illegal wars, you can torture, you can imprison without charge, you can spy without warrant. Oh, my lawyer said I can do it. You know, this is what we've come to.
In the 18th century, it was the king. Well, the king said we could do it. Right. You know, now it's a lawyer can say
you
can do it.
Now it's the president. Now it's the governor. Now it's the lawyers who work for the president or the governor who, it appears, will say absolutely anything. And a good section of the populace will believe anything they say.
David Swanson, online at davidswanson.org. David, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.